Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan than actually being in Japan. This is really weird. I feel like something's wrong fundamentally. Because when I normally do that, I'm in my apartment doing it. But we're not in my apartment today. We're in a log cabin in Kobe with Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, it's not just a log cabin. It's an isolated log cabin halfway up a mountain. And it's an amazing construction.
It is.
But it is spooky as fuck.
It took us 20 minutes going up a mountain to find it. The reason we're in a log cabin is Pete's been joining me on the cycle the last few days. And on a Friday in Kobe, it's extremely difficult to find a hotel or one that's reasonably priced. And this was the best next best option, a log cabin straight out of Stanley Kubrick, The Shining. half expected to open the door and see two girls just standing there ominously. Anyway, good to see you guys. You are able to watch this. If you're watching it, well done, you found it. Yep. But if you're listening to this, you can watch it in a video form. It is a bit weird and awkward. It's just Pete and I just sitting in a log cabin.
Yeah. There are other rooms with other people in it. Like, we haven't just sort of got ourselves a log cabin and have just decided to just hang out like two Bert and Ernie kind of characters.
Yeah.
But we've sort of, you know, carved out a little podcast room for us to do a podcast.
A little podcast room.
So it's all very nice. It is a lovely put together. You know when you sort of got this up to some of these places, and like you'd go to a place like this in like Germany, and it would be filthy, and there'd be rot everywhere, and there'd be moths. Here, not a cobweb in sight.
It is terrifyingly spotless for a log cabin. Mm. You think log cabin in the woods, you think shit. But this is actually really nice.
It's recently been cleaned because of the blood.
And what better way to appreciate a log cabin than with a Kit Kat sake?
Oh.
Flavour. Now, this is a whole packet here.
Where did you get that from?
Well, this is a gift for you. Oh. So I had a box of six Kit Kat Sakis. There's a new flavour. Kit Kat Sake has been around for a few years. I love it. But this is a new refined flavour using sake from Hyogo Prefecture, which we're in now. We're in Kobe, right?
Oh, okay, so we're celebrating with that.
So let's show it to the camera for those that are watching this. You can see it there. It's a nice little flavour. I did have a whole box for you, Pete, and then I got bored one night in my hotel room and the contents of the box magically disappeared.
You have a funny idea of the word boring. Like, you got bored and things fell in your mouth. I mean, that's an interesting concept, isn't it, Chris?
Wait. I'm curious. This is your first time having a Kit Kat sake, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
I've had a Kit Kat wasabi before. Well, why don't we split it if you're such a
big
fan?
I might have had one when they fell in my mouth.
Oh! It really does smell of booze. Smell and taste of booze.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
It's good, isn't it?
It's actually quite
you've
strong...
eaten it in the way you're supposed to eat a Kit Kat. You've snapped it in half.
I was sharing it with you.
All right, I'll have it.
Yeah, it really does taste like somewhere between like a fruity sake and one of those dry ones you get.
It's got, I want to say it's got 0.04 alcohol in it.
But is that true?
I think it might be less than that. The day you get drunk eating sake Kit Kats is a great day indeed.
I think it'll be a dark day.
It's all right,
yeah, it's good.
I don't usually taste.
I don't usually like white chocolate, but I like that because it's got a bit of a kick to it. So we've been spending the last 4 days together, was it? We met up on Sunday night.
You make it sound like it's been like some sort of chore.
Arduous journey.
It has been arduous journey.
A log journey, log cabin that where
a log
he will,
journey.
He will attack me with some kind of axe. It's been fun. I am knackered, to be honest, Chris. I don't know how you managed to keep the pace.
I don't either. So in this podcast, we're going to talk through our first 2 days, and then in next week's podcast, we'll talk you through our second 2 days.
Mm.
I don't know when the videos are coming out with Pete in it, but they should be about the same time these podcasts come out. So you can go on the Abroad Japan channel and check out our 4 days. The first day we're in... Where were we? Went to a lake. So the first 2 days were in Kyoto and Lake Biwa, the kind of lake, Japan's largest freshwater lake, just outside of Kyoto.
I met you it's somewhere in the middle of nowhere, didn't I? Again, once again, you drag... The journey for me has started in the middle of nowhere and has also ended in the middle of nowhere as well.
It was... Yeah, So I was cycling from Kanazawa round to Kyoto, and we worked out the best place to meet Pete was by Lake Biwa, about an hour's drive outside of Kyoto, or a whole day's cycle. And Pete arrived, jet-lagged, tired. He got the bullet train from Tokyo to Kyoto, then he got some crappy little local train from Kyoto to God knows where. I don't even know where it was. I think it was called Tameshi.
Yeah, sounds about right, yeah.
Tamushi.
Tamahashi.
And yeah, I met you just literally. I met Pete. He was sitting in a lake. He came out of the lake like fucking.
Came out of the lake. Hello,
Mothra, Godzilla.
But it was a lovely hotel and had a beautiful view of a 7-Eleven. And I've been with you for 5 days now, and I've only had one Coolish.
Only one.
Yeah, I didn't even sneak one in before I actually joined you. So I think that's progress, quite frankly. So we started there, then we did a bit of cycling, didn't we?
We did a bit of cycling, and...
I thought I coped amicably. I cycled longer and further than Natsuki did.
Before the cycle even kicked off, though, we were gearing up, we were having a bit of a breakfast, and sitting by the lake in a park, and there was a man cooking a stew with a dozen cats, and it was such a bizarre and weird sight. You'll have to watch the video to check it out, but... Yeah, there was this guy cooking a stew for 12 cats, and it was...
You see sort of these eccentric characters in Japan, and sort of people ask me why I go to Japan. That was my first day. Cats. I watched two women dress up two dogs in at Kobe Port, a beautiful port opened in 1856 to foreign visitors. Read that on a Starbucks wall. And these two women were just dressing up their two little dogs in Halloween costumes.
They were.
And so, like, you'll see these sort of things all the time. But so it did start with a man cooking stew for some cats who were very.
It was
into
quite a profound,
him.
Beautiful moment.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I think if you're going to start off a 50-kilometer cycle, seeing a man cooking a stew for some cats, you can't get better than that, really.
Or the cast of cats, maybe.
But we every day on the cycle, I've been doing challenges, daily challenges sent in by viewers. We stick them into this little gachapon capsule toy machine, Ampaman, the character Ampaman, famous Japanese character. And you twist it, and the capsule comes out with the challenge in. My team, who I've been travelling with, my production team, who are helping with cameras, drones and things, they choose 5 or 6 every day, whack them into the capsule toy machine, and then we turn it and one comes out. The one that came out on the first day was to travel from Lake Biwa to Kyoto, 50 kilometres, without using Google Maps. And it was really, really hard.
Really hard, yeah.
We could use a paper map, and that was what we did. We went to Lawson's, got a paper map.
The paper map didn't make the journey. The packet from the paper map, I got so angry with. I think the paper map actually might be in the van that has kind of been following us on the journey, jammed into like underneath on the seat because it was really soggy. Because when we arrived in Kyoto, it was a beautiful day up until we started to get into Kyoto and it just started chucking it down. And I was wearing just shorts and a shirt, a Japan international soccer shirt. And it was just.
You use it as a makeshift hat.
I use it as
umbrella
a makeshift hat. And I was just surprised that a normal convenience store just sells these maps. There's your map.
Yeah, I mean,
enjoy.
People still use maps, apparently. So I always thought there's something quite romantic and brilliant about maps. But then when you're stumbling through the dark in rural Kyoto and it's pissing it down with rain and your map's getting soaked and you can't see it because it's dark, you realise how crap maps really are and how just impractical they are. Yeah. You can just whip out your phone and use Google Maps. It just
It's particularly difficult for me who can't read Japanese. I mean that was a big hurdle for me.
Brilliant. I tasked you with being the map reader, and then it quickly became apparent you can't read the map.
It was completely.
That might be why we got lost for 2 hours in a field.
We saw a sweet windmill.
Windmills.
Would you stop with like the? That's the thing, you'll sort of be in the middle of nowhere and you'll just see this mad stuff and there's just a big windmill. And it's just there just as decoration, just for like a little picnic.
It was a fully operational windmill.
Yeah, it wasn't grinding anything, was it? There was no machinery inside it, there was nothing inside it. It was using it for storage.
Well, there were a lot of boxes in there, from what I saw.
Just goes round.
Yeah, we were cycling through the middle of nowhere, saw a windmill. It's one of those... The best thing about cycling through Japan, for me, the last month or so, is that every day you just come across weird things like that.
Mm,
you turn the corner, bang, there's a windmill, all right.
And they'll just be like mermaid statues and stuff like that. It's weird. Like, you'll just pass a statue for a mermaid and there's just no rhyme, no reason for it. And then we got to Kyoto. We went to Tori, what do you call them?
Tori Gate in
the middle of the Lake Biwa. Where some canoeists were sort of canoodling around the lake to take pictures and stuff. They were a bit annoying, to be honest.
They were spoiling
everyone's pictures. They were waving. So, like, you've got this beautiful scene, the lake view was beautiful, and then these canoeists decide to kind of hang around the Tory Gate. Like, there's no reason for them to be there.
It's true. It's quite annoying. There was a beautiful Tory Gate, beautiful bright red Tory Gate lingering in the morning lake, glistening lake. And then there's just like three people on canoes going through the middle of it, ruining. I'm not even sure you're supposed to go through it. I thought that's a curse.
It's like
going under a ladder.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent.
Imagine
if
I did that, people would be really upset. I did do a little paddle off, that was nice.
Yeah. You contaminated the water with your feet instead.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you.
That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
And then we made the Kyoto. So we made the Kyoto. It was tipping it down with rain, but we made it nonetheless. Mm. And then the second day, we spent in Kyoto. Now, when you think Kyoto, you think pagodas, temples, you know, Ginza, the Fushimi Inari Shrine and all sorts. And what did we do, Pete?
We went to Monkey Land.
We went to the Monkey Park, which is it? Pete keeps referring to as Monkey Land.
Monkey Land, you know, Monkey just, World, where it's called. It's not really a sanctuary. Like, they can't be controlled. It's basically a hut on the side of the mountain that keeps feeding these monkeys who live there.
What was it?
Was it a research lab or something?
Yes, so we went to Arashiyama Monkey Park, and it was originally some sort of research facility for universities.
That's
students.
What they said about Rabbit Island. What if Japan becomes Monkey World?
It could well happen.
The entire thing.
28 days later scenario. Yeah, it was quite nice up there. But yeah, it used to be a university research place, outpost, and then there was lots of tourists that liked it, and that's what it is now. And it's now a really big tourist destination. While I was there, I couldn't film things because so many viewers were spotting me. Because it's very popular with foreigners, right? And every I got spotted by at least 15 people up there. Every time I pulled the camera out to take a photo of Pete or some monkeys, I ended up in a conversation with someone. Lovely people. If you do ever spot me, ladies and gentlemen, walking through the streets of Japan, do come and say hello. The worst situations where people look at you and stare at you for up to 20 minutes but don't say anything. This just creates this awkward Mexican standoff scenario. Do come and talk to me if you see me and get it over with, get it out of the way.
But when we arrived in Kyoto and it was chucking it down and we were filming the final kind of, we're here, we've got here, and like some people were just kind of off camera, sort of waiting to talk to you. But we went on for so long and it was raining so hard they just gave up in the end.
Yeah, that was awkward. Some viewers spotted us and...
So sorry if you were those people on behalf of Chris and his projects.
Maybe we'll see each other again. after Monkey Park, we did an equally weird thing. Again, I let Pete decide the venue, and the venue was Monster Street.
Yeah.
Yokai Street. There's a little street in Kyoto where the shopkeepers, for whatever reason...
reason's only there now.
...have taken a load of crap from their... from whatever, straws, empty boxes, plates, paper mache, anything... and stuck it together and create these little weird monsters, little creatures, and then they put them out the front of their shop, they put them out the front of their store. I don't know why. It doesn't seem to be much story or context to
There's no rhyme or reason, but I think it was just... what I don't understand was... because yokai are like mythical kind of like monsters from like Japanese folklore, aren't they? One of my favourite yokai is Beto-san. Which is, I think it's Beto-beto, and it's onomatopoeic, because they love onomatopoeia, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Onomatopoeic, and it's... Beto, 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 and it's the footsteps of a yokai, a ghost or a monster. And it kind of like, if you're walking down a country road at night, or a country street, country lane, and you hear beto, 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 you stand aside and you say, after you, beto, beto, san, dozo. And you let him go in front, and then he leaves you alone.
Where have you heard this story?
It's like Japanese folklore. There's loads of them. It's mad. There's one that like licks that comes in your room and licks the condensation off your roof. So
what's he called?
That's Licky Licky Man. I don't know.
Licky Licky Man.
The old Licky Licky Man. But these shops try to I guess kind of like stimulate their business. So every business on the road has their own little really cheaply assembled shitty yokai that they've made themselves.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think think it did stimulate their businesses. Well, it was the most quiet street I've ever set foot in.
It was
in
really
Kyoto.
Quiet, and it was like, it was pointed out like it was a tourist trap. You know what I mean? They set this all up so that tourists would come and enjoy their wares. But the sort of shops that do it were like goldfish shops. Like, you're not taking a goldfish away from your holiday, are you?
It was pretty surreal. Like, we looked at the reviews before we went there, and the reviews are pretty, not particularly flattering, because they're tourists that have gone there expecting this incredible street, because Monster Street.
Yeah.
Sounds great, right? Who wouldn't want to go to fucking Monster Street? We get there, and it's a street that's mostly shuttered shops, with a few little weird monsters out the front. I really liked it, though. I actually quite enjoyed it.
I like the slightly tattiness of it all.
I love the tattiness. It was very... Yeah, it was something quite beautifully poetic about these shitty papier-mâché monsters at the front. And then we got Pete Donaldson to go to each and every one of them and give them his thoughts. And
yeah, what it reminded me of.
Yeah,
most of them reminded me of my father.
Yes.
It turns out we've got a lot of unresolved issues in that direction, so...
there were about 10 monsters, and at least 5 of them were Pete's dad.
Yeah.
So... Definitely some
the monster who gave
family
me life.
Issues there.
Yeah. Stuart Donald's actually quite nice. And then we went to... we decided, for some reason, to make our own monsters.
Yeah, we thought we'd try something a little bit different. I think looking at monsters that people had made like that, these bespoke creations made by... They must be relatively disturbed individuals, given the nature of what they were, like crocodile face man, I can't remember what they were.
There was crocodiles. There was old men with big red noses and
red
stuff.
Red nose man, yeah, one with a giant nose.
There was one that I'm fairly certain infringed the IP on where the monster, where
Monsters
the wild
Inc.
things like.
The Gruffalo monster.
The Gruffalo monster. Yeah. One of them looked very Gruffalo-esque, but he had a son that was an envelope. It was very strange.
He had a son that was an envelope.
But we decided to make our own monsters. We decided to take £15 of our own good hard-earned money, go into the Family Mart or the 7-Eleven, might have even been a Lawson, at the end of Monster Street, York High Street, and make our own monster on a budget.
To cap what might have been a very peculiar day, Monster Street, Monkey Mountain. We made our own. We went to Family Mart and... I have no idea what Pete was making. It wasn't. There wasn't really a whole lot of thought that went into it. Really, I don't even know how the idea came about. It was very. The good thing about these videos is it's very creative and very spontaneous. You never know what's going to happen during the day. And whilst walking down Monster Street, we realised this is something we had to do, and we went to Family Mart. I let Pete go off his way. I went mine, and the end result was nothing short of spectacular. You're going to have to watch the video to see it. Suffice to say, Pete used a photocopier. Pete photocopied his own fingers and printed
greased,
it off.
Greased up an entire photocopier that could have been used for good. People doing their jobs and stuff, and I ruined it by sticking my greasy hands all over it.
Staff can't be too happy about that.
No.
Pete's was pretty spectacular, to be honest. Mine was crap.
I will happily admit that yours was a bit low, below par, but
whoa.
I would say that York High Street started it with their low rent shenanigans.
I thought mine's going to be good. Mine's going to be better than Pete's. And I basically got some paper cups and knifed some holes into the top of it and put some Pocky biscuits, Pocky chocolate biscuits, which are big, long stick biscuits, in the top like hair, wrapped some bubble gum around its head and gave it some forks for legs. And you think, that sounds good. That's really
good
dress.
Who wouldn't want forks for legs?
Forks for legs, brilliant. Yeah. And then Pete comes out with his photocopied hand pictures... And a balloon, no less, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And then sticks some salami and cheese to the balloon for eyes.
Fish hair.
And
fish flake hair.
It's just mental. Like,
right, I grew up with...
With balloons covered in salami.
I grew up watching Art Attack on British television, as we both did. It's important to know how to improvise when faced with a challenge.
Oh, well, that you certainly did. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, as good as Pete's creation was, it didn't end particularly well.
No.
For said creation.
No, but you'll have to watch the video for that.
Yeah.
I've just noticed, Chris, that your bananas that you have bought are individually wrapped in a protective plastic labelled bag.
That's the way I like it.
But, like, bananas... I'm sure this point has been made before, but the bananas already have a protective...
What I like is
wallet.
We bought four bananas. We bought three or four bananas, and each and every one of them
wrapped.
Is individually wrapped. How awesome is that?
Very wasteful. I'm not having it.
It's funny, like people say in Japan they recycle things, but
yeah, they bloody have to.
It's the land of massive wastage. Like Japan has a really bad plastic problem. The fact that individually wrapped bananas,
yeah,
could not be a greater signifier of that. We've also got cheesy bread.
Cheesy bread.
What is that? Some sort of jelly beans.
Polyful.
Yeah. That's my dinner. That is my dinner. Sweet bananas and cheesy bread.
Polyful. Yeah. It's polyful. I don't know where we're going with this. We're just reviewing food now. We're like those people who just open up toys on the internet and film ourselves doing it.
Yeah, with nothing.
I mean, that is pretty much the most Japanese YouTubers just go, oh, look, you don't get that in wherever you come from. Oh, the mints aren't called mints, they're called mintier, and they're made by Asahi. So, yeah, have a bit of that.
Stop laying into Japanese YouTubers with their brilliant originality and great ideas.
Oh, look at them fucking... that's all they do.
How dare you?
Chris extends the form somewhat.
I do, with our great cycle. Shall we answer a few questions?
Let's answer a couple of questions. Let's answer two good ones.
Two good ones.
And then let's get out of here.
All right.
Because we've got... another podcast.
Pete's had literally no sleep, ladies and gentlemen. Look at his face. If you're watching this, you can look at his face.
Oh, God.
If you're not watching this,
I'm Jisa Bokeh. I'm jet lagged.
Jisa Bokeh. Jisa Bokeh. All right.
I've noticed Chris's.
What's our podcast email address called?
Shit. Chris spends a lot of time on his trying to. He's got like a million accounts that he's got to kind of juggle at any one time, and it's all very confusing. Are you going into your settings to get the Wi-Fi on? Most of the questions coming in have just been like, how is your bum coping? Did your trousers work out okay? And that's the one thing that I sort of found most difficult about the actual bike ride part of it was that your bum really hurts, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean,
and it doesn't give up.
That was the worst thing. So after 3 days, I couldn't sit down.
Mm.
That was it. I couldn't sit down.
So you cyclists out there, is this what you feel all the time? Does your bum and your gooch?
Well,
Netherworld, your Buffman's Bridge. Does it always ache like that? Is that how it works?
I do have a cushioned pants.
You were wearing cushioned pants. You didn't.
You weren't, were you?
No, I was wearing normal pants.
Yeah, I do. Not only do I have a little cushion for the seat of the bike, but I have like cushioned underwear, pants, things.
Oh my God! I could have done with a cushioned stomach when just before we were going up the hill to Monkey Land, Monkey World, whatever we're calling it now. I almost wiped out an old lady on a scooter.
Oh God!
Remember that was dreadful.
On the way to Monkey Land, we're just about to climb the mountain up to Monkey Land, and I heard bang!
Like a genuine.
It was a genuine. I thought it was you at first. It wasn't Pete. Sounded like Pete, but it was a woman in a 50s/60s.
She was old.
Driving a scooter.
Yeah.
Nearly took out the great Pete Donaldson. That would have been a great way to die. Run over by a 50-year-old woman in Kyoto.
Well, I got run over by an old man. I got run over by an old man in Korea a few years ago by a scooter, and this was my second, opportunity. But
opportunity.
I genuinely thought, oh my God, that was definitely her fault. But then I did sort of think about it later. I think CCTV may not have proved me particularly correct. I think I stepped out as well, so I'm so glad she wasn't hurt. Because she just stopped and went, Dajoba desu, asking me if I'm okay. But I was going, Dajoba desu, right
so
back
awkward.
At her. Are you okay? No, are you okay? Now are you okay? I don't care. I don't know, it's just endless back and forth. But she was fine, she drove off, and I was very embarrassed. So
you are lucky,
just be
though.
Careful. It was a very busy part of Kyoto.
Yeah, watch out for 60-year-old women on bikes going around on scooters. You're lucky though, you only did. I realise this. I've had three guests on my cycle now. I've had Joey the Anime Man, Sharla in Japan, who's not in Japan, and Pete Donaldson. And Pete Donaldson's only cycled for 1 day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Everyone else, on average, has cycled for 4 days, and Pete's done only one.
How much did Natsuki do?
He did one 10-kilometre stretch. So, Natsuki.
And he brought his own cycling shorts.
Did less
as well.
Than you. Actually, on the rankings, Natsuki's last place.
Okay,
so
as long as he doesn't rejoin you at the end, I'm assured of second last place, pretty much. Yeah. And to be honest, Joey and Charlotte, they are both younger than me, both more sprightly, both fitter, so that's fine.
That's fine.
I'm fine. I'm happy with that. And with that.
And with that, we will return next week, guys, with the next tale of what happened on the next 2 days of our trip. Ooh. But for now, thanks for watching. And if you're watching this on YouTube, thanks for looking at us in a room awkwardly in this room, in a log cabin, in a mountain, in Kobe. So weird. This is so weird.
There's a carbon monoxide detector up there. That's good. That's a good sign.
Is it?
It's a good sign. As I'm getting hacked to death by Jason from Friday the 13th.
Oh, God.
In a log cabin. I can look up and go, at least carbon monoxide didn't get me.
Well, if I don't get a good night's sleep tonight, it'll be fucking me going mental with an axe. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, guys, with we'll be back next week, guys, with the next podcast about what we did. But for now, no matter where you might be listening from, out there in the big wide world, check us out on YouTube. Check out the videos of the cycle. See what's been going down. And we'll see you then. Have a good one, guys. All the best.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.